11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 20 minutes or so. We'll also talk about a former Royal trying to recruit Jack Caglione. Stay away, man. Stay away.
Are you looking forward to my song later?
You are going
to
have a song for us. I have not heard it. Drew has not heard it.
Text line seems mixed about their excitement.
It usually is mixed.
Half of them would wish for death.
Cody has...
have threatened to turn off the radio. The other half say they're looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's usually split. Cody has a new song. It's a Jack Caglione song. I have not heard it. He promises it to be upbeat and rock, metal.
Yeah, in that vein. Okay. One of those two. And I really seriously thought about several other songs. Some of the considerations were I'm in Love with a Hitter. The Pharrell song Happy almost made an appearance. There were a few choices in there till I found the perfect song, which I believe to be the one that we'll play.
The perfect song.
In the noon hour for Jack Caglione. Okay. I think there's a certain amount of energy that he exudes.
Is it going to be uncomfortable at any point in time for us to listen to?
I think that there's a couple of lyrics you won't like.
Oh, okay.
From an uncomfortable standpoint. I don't want to say for sure.
Are you playing off his Jack?
No.
Okay. Thank goodness.
No, I avoided.
Thank you.
I mean, again, considered that.
I thought you did.
Avoided that, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. But
so that's around 12:15-ish or so. 12:10. 12:15. Cody's got a new song.
He makes his home debut tonight.
Help us all. Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Good luck, man. Good luck, Drew. I hope you like it. You're actually a supporter of mine, which I appreciate.
He's not in there.
Wait, where the hell's Drew?
He walked out. He's already done with the song. He walked out.
He just left?
He's not. Yeah, he's not over there. He's out. Yeah.
Oh.
Good thing the show's staying on.
I'm trying to say something nice about him.
Yeah. Nope. He walked out.
Even like for show. He's literally not in there.
He's worried already about the song. So we'll get to that in just a bit. We were kind of talking about the trade deadline stuff and just look ahead 6+ weeks from now. Where would you be at in the hypothetical? What seems clear and clear, though, you and I were talking off air the other day, that it feels like this one, and last year's did too, and usually it does in baseball, but feels like we're headed towards another sweat it out the final 2 weeks of the baseball season already, even though it's June 10th.
I think at this point, it's going to be, and I hate to just accept this reality, I kind of feel like the division's dead. And it's not even like necessarily fully the Royals' fault. I just happen to think the Tigers are the best team in baseball. Yeah, and so if you made me right now, not just record-wise, I think they're also the best team. And so that's a problem for them, for starters. I already start getting that itchy feeling where it's like going to be September 21st. And we're like, all right, they hold the spot by a half game. Need the Twins to lose tonight and the Royals to get a win to hold on to their spot or to take back over the final spot. I feel like we're going to be waiting to see if the Royals make the playoffs until the final week of the regular season, just based on the way the American League is. I had told you this stat earlier, and it still holds true. Okay, so the Yankees and the Detroit Tigers are the two best teams in the American League, have been the entire year. The Royals are a game and a half out of a playoff spot. They are only 2.5 games out of the third best record in the American League, which means there's like 8 teams within 4 games of each other. Tell me how that doesn't come down to the wire. Not even just because of the Royals, just everyone else seems swing, like just stuck together.
The big swing, though, will go back to what we were just doing in the last segment, which is what teams decide to be aggressive at the deadline and which teams say, hey, organizationally, better for us to stand pat or better for us to sell. Or you can kind of do the combination of both, where there's some guys that you're willing to sell on because you don't have any control over after the year, but you're also buying maybe a reliever. And so that's going to dictate a lot of that. It's also why it's so difficult to pull off any trades this early. And you really can't because so many teams, you just laid out how close it is in the AL. So many teams believe they're in it still, and they are in it still. And so there's only teams like the Rockies, maybe the A's, the Pirates. There's maybe one or two other teams, the White Sox, who are truly out of it. The other teams are still talking themselves into, no, we're right there. We're 3.5 out of a playoff spot. If you're the Red Sox certainly don't think they're out of it. They're behind the Royals in the standings, aren't they?
But some people are going to randomly sell in that group, right?
So
the Red Sox are 32-36. They are 4.5 games out of a wild card spot. So they are 3 games back of the Royals. If we include anyone that record are on, there are only essentially 3 teams eliminated from playoff contention. The Texas Rangers are only 4.5 games out of a playoff spot. Same with the Red Sox. Angels are only 4 games out. Mariners only 2. Royals game and a half. And then everyone else is pretty much in a playoff spot, all lumped in together. But you and I both know the Twins won't buy, or the Blue Jays will sell, or the Rays will. Someone in that grouping is going to sell. Someone in the Royals, Mariners, Angels, Red Sox, Rangers, Twins, whoever is going to sell. And we won't know that answer till 5 weeks from now. The problem is, Gold, how many sellers, if no one sells, are there any players worth buying? Because the Orioles are in a tough spot. They were in a win now mode. They are 8.5 games back. They're going to have to sell somebody.
Or Ryan O'Hearn is going to be the guy, because they have a lot of young talent, but anybody that's a Ryan O'Hearn veteran type with very little control, they're going to move.
Okay, so the A's are selling. Yeah. The White Sox are selling. And then on the National League side right now, the Marlins, Rockies, and Pirates are selling. Outside of that, even the Atlanta Braves, a team that had to come from behind a couple of years ago in order to make a playoff spot, it's probably not looking at 9 games back and saying we've got no hope.
They got off to such an abysmal start.
Yeah, and so like it's going to be difficult to find. I think that this is going to be a particularly difficult market to find sellers in this year. So is everyone just going to stand pat and it's just whoever has the best September wins?
Yeah, I mean, I think
it's kind of starting to feel that way. That's all.
I do think, despite, I agree with you on where some of the teams are at. I do think we usually know there's some consolidation by the time we get to July 31st. You know, I mean, that
you think it tightens or
consolidation in terms of who's in it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it'll still be close, but some of these teams are going to fall off.
Red Sox or somebody else, out,
you know, all of a sudden injuries happen and a team realizes it's just not their year, where their two of their star players gets hurt and they're like, okay,
it is what it is.
You know, something like that. You don't want anybody to get
maybe
hurt.
Maybe it's a late trade deadline. Not nobody trades at all, an early.
That's
one.
What I meant by, I think there's a chance before July 31st, maybe it's in 4 weeks or 3 weeks. Is there a minor move? You're able to go trade for a bullpen arm to help bolster your bullpen because you're just dealing with some injuries, things like that. Those kind of minor moves, I think you can make ahead of it. Going out and getting a corner outfield bat or somebody like that, that's probably not happening until mid-July or late July. I would be stunned if you're pulling that trade off in June. June feels like the bullpen arm type of trade.
Well, and like somebody pointed out, it's like the Tigers sold last year and then got better. Like, they sold. Yeah. They had given up on their playoff chances, got white hot, and then just rolled through. And since then, I without even looking, I'm going to guess since that moment that they sold, they probably had the best record in baseball amongst any team.
Somebody put out the number last week. Like, yeah, since August, they have basically easily had the best record in all baseball since last August.
I don't know, man. It still feels like a big wash. Because like right now, the Rays and the Blue Jays are going through their winning stretches. So they're in the playoff spots. They've won 7-10 or 8-10, both of them. And the Guardians, Twins, and Royals have all essentially been .500. So they're starting to fall to the bottom spots or just out of the playoffs. Well, then the next 2 weeks, Gold, over the 10 games, the Royals, Twins, and Guardians will all go 7-3. The Rays and the Blue Jays will go 5-5. And they're just going to trade back and forth all year long until we get to that first couple of days of September and then have to start finding out, hope you can play better than everyone else. And look, for the Royals' sake, because they have the pitching, I'll still give them the benefit in September that they can rip off more wins than the other teams around and give themselves that chance. But it definitely feels like it's coming to the end. You and I saw this yesterday, by the way. And I got to say, stay off our turf.
That's right.
America, you know? The hell are you doing?
Uh-huh.
At the very least, he could go be teammates with a different player we can talk about here in a minute. But according to multiple reports yesterday, Carlos Beltran, who's apparently in charge of recruiting players for Team Puerto Rico in the World Baseball Classic next year, has already prepared an open invitation for Jack Caglione. And you're like, Jack Caglione for Puerto Rico? His mom is from Puerto Rico, so the connection is easy one to make there. It's not like the Olympics.
Yeah.
You can have passing connections to some of the countries of origin for the World Baseball Classic and play for the team. And I'll say, Puerto Rico's been kind of a powerhouse in the World Baseball Classic and consistently one of the best teams in the field in any given year. What the hell? You're trying to take Jack Caglione already? Shouldn't he be on Team USA?
I would hope so.
Team Italy with Vinny Pasquantino?
He's played for a USA collegiate team, I believe, at some point, you know, going back to obviously his college days. This is one of those, like, I have no idea what his desire would be in terms of which country to represent, et cetera, and how much he wants to go back in ties with family and all that.
Born and lived in the U.S.
I have no idea.
You'd think he'd want to rep Team USA.
But I'm with you. Yeah, Carlos Beltran, he's doing his job. He's trying to recruit a great hitter. I get it. But, hopefully
Royal
Jack Caglione eventually represents the U.S. in the World Baseball Classic. That'd be pretty cool. Have him part of a loaded lineup of Aaron Judge and others and Bobby Witt Jr. That'd be pretty cool. As far as the Italy thing, we would have to go way down a rabbit hole. My understanding understanding is it's a little bit different. There's new visa requirements. So unless he already has an Italian passport from Italy, I actually don't think he can play for Team Italy.
So Vinny got an Italian passport to play for Team Italy?
I don't, because his father wasn't born in Italy. Caglione's father wasn't born in
Italy.
Is
Vinny's dad born in Italy?
I have no idea. Again, this is where we go down way rabbit hole, and this is a conversation we probably have to ask them directly. But my understanding is Jack's dad wasn't born in Italy, so unless Jack has an Italian passport, I don't know how the eligibility, there's new visa require or citizen laws, so I don't know.
It doesn't sound like his dad was born in Italy, but his father's side and family.
I have no idea.
Can trace stuff. I'm just looking at an article based on it. Can trace back some of his family to Italy. He apparently went to Italy with his fiance not that long ago. You know?
I mean, that's a nice trip anyway. I'll go there too.
Yeah.
It's a nice trip.
Sure. Why not? Like, so he's been in Italy recently. Maybe you got to get the passport stamp. Maybe you just got to physically travel to Italy. And that's, you know, he just said he traveled there. His father's side of the family has Italian roots. First time Pasquantino had been to Italy, returned to the States. He had a 2-hour phone call with his grandpa, who's from there, Dennis, about the country and his experiences.
Yeah, again, I don't know
so
what he's eligible for.
So maybe it's just like one generation.
I don't know.
Look, all I know is he's already committed to play for Team Italy. I'm not just making an assumption.
You're talking about Vinny. Yeah,
Vinny
talking about Vinny, yes.
Has made,
well, and he played for him last time in the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah,
so that's like, not a, that's an easy one.
Whatever the connection they got to make has already been taken care
Someone
of, at least
says,
on that end.
I have Caglione's 23andMe. I'll sell it to you guys and figure it out. Oh, man. What was the one company that went belly up recently? And then people were worried because they sold their data to some pharmaceutical company.
Was it that one?
I'm not sure.
They were like, I don't know, like selling you a cure.
No, because
DNA
people had obviously subscribed through the, you know, whatever that were. Have you done one of those? I've never done that, but.
No, I haven't.
Where you send in obviously or whatever, and they find out your
which one of you
lineage.
Guys said that you wouldn't do it? I think there's one of you that said you wouldn't, or
I think
you
it was Cody.
Wouldn't.
This is an article from I don't need to know that. It's fine. CNN
I'd be curious
from
to
March
know.
Says 23andMe is looking to sell customers' genetic data.
Yeah, I believe the company. I think
That's
the pharmaceutical
crazy.
Company bought them. Bought the
I'd
data
maybe do
from
one for.
They
a, I think
out.
I'd be more likely to do one for a pet, like the people who do that and find out what kind of
my sister.
What kind
it.
Of mutt?
Oh, so you're okay with
is?
Your pets? You're okay with your pet being, you know, okay.
What are they going to do with my pet's DNA data?
My thing is like
sell me different dog food.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, some of your family history you may already know, so you don't need to. But there's a lot of people that don't know their connection, and they want to know like where their roots and lineage is and everything.
So
know?
There's a couple of things. One. You can always go to the Mormon temple. They're happy to let you walk in there and Scientology. What is with the genealogy? So I think it's the Mormon one.
I'm staying away from this topic.
So
I have no
I'm
idea.
I'm just saying, like,
as am I.
I believe it's the Mormon temple and they'll like help you do genealogy research stuff on that. The other part about this, and I can't even imagine I'm offending, but two people who listen to this entire show, my wife, who's a public librarian, she's a librarian still, but she was a public librarian for 10, 15 years,
okay.
Said that the people who used to come in for the genealogy stuff were the worst patrons on the planet. And they just can't, just the worst clients, constantly in need of some other dusty-ass book that nobody's ever heard of in search of one tiny little thread. They probably prayed to have a 23andMe at that time during the time.
You want people to come to the library or not? Sounds like they don't want people.
No, they just want you to be a pain in the ass if you come to the library, like any other service. I want people at your business. You don't want them to like try to tear the place down, you know?
By the way, Cody, I am looking forward to hearing your song. I went back and I was playing back some of the stuff.
You left
making
us.
Clips and I.
Yes, oh, yeah. I was like, where did Drew go?
There was something regarding. There was something I needed to take care of.
Oh, that sounded very. This like that sounded like very secretive. There's something I had to go take care of.
Just audio quality stuff that I was trying to figure out, and I was trying to learn more information.
Oh, that's not as exciting as what I thought.
No,
you were
it's not.
I thought you got in trouble.
Yeah, no, I had to go take
this
care.
This show's trying to stay out of trouble, keep our nose clean.
Very much so. Very much
you know?
So. Yeah,
we're on the up and up.
That's right. Squeaky clean.
And that I cannot say that a very, very few times in my life.
Squeaky clean.
I gotta follow some rules for at least a little bit. You know, they forget about you eventually and you can start breaking them again. But for the time being, you gotta follow some rules. So you are looking forward to it, Drew? That's good.
Yeah.
I thanked you, even though you weren't here. I thank you for your constant support on the songs.
Thank you. I'm happy to support.
You are consistently supportive of me and my creative
endeavor.
I'm very
excited to hear what song you're covering. I think that might be the most exciting part of it is I want to hear what song you're covering. Like,
it's always a mystery.
To
know?
Determine how
Here's
much guts
thing.
You
I can,
have.
I can hear already. I can hear just
He heard
like,
me yelling in the
that's
back
what
corner.
I, that's the problem. The problem. Like, I can hear already. There's going to be a moment or two where like, we've done the show long enough. I've heard enough songs. Cody's like yell. I can hear it. Like, I can hear it right now. And it's that's the part that's already
getting to you already.
Yeah, because I don't know what the lyric is. But it's when you, it's there's a certain way you do it in every song, and I can already tell it's going to be an uncomfortable moment. So, I don't even know the lyrics, but you've promised that the lyrics aren't going to be that uncomfortable.
No, just mildly, and only like a couple. Okay. Well, look, I mean, we've done again.
Let
we've
me
done
put
enough
this way.
Of these
if
songs.
Jack
now.
Caglione heard the song, would he think it's very weird?
No, I don't think so. I think Jack would like it. You know, he liked the shirts. He liked the CAG shirt you're wearing now.
Yeah.
Also, always follow the show on video, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. We live stream the show. Interact with you over there. I don't think so. I think he'd find this shirt more uncomfortable probably than the lyrics to that song. And I honestly, I don't know how he'd feel about the shirt. I'm tempted. I'm a little afraid. So I thought the other day when I had it made, I was like, should I get, like, before I wear this in public, should I just make sure, like, Vinny's cool with it? And then I thought, oh, man, if I send him the shirt and he's not cool with
that's
it, then
why
what?
I said on the shirt, I said you then shouldn't what? Have got the station logo. That's a Cody Tapp only thing.
I shouldn't put
yeah, I don't know if you should have put the station on that one, but yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's too late now.
Song is happening at 12:10, 12:15-ish.
Yeah.
Right around there.
A little under an hour.
When the song. And this is not, you guys know this, how the song stuff works. I don't hear them until you hear them. We all listen together. You get my instant reaction. Usually, it's not good for Cody, but we'll have some fun with it. 12, 10, 12, 15.
I look forward to your honest-to-God live reaction, which, again,
I'll
can watch
honest.
On
I'll
YouTube
be honest.
Or Twitch or wherever you watch video.
All right, Drew, let's get to it. Couple different angles with this one. We can talk about a job interview. We can also talk about the speed in which this person was driving. And how it relates to us a little bit. This goes up in Connecticut. Cromwell, Connecticut. Have you ever been to the state of Connecticut? I haven't been to Connecticut before. No reason to at this point in time.
I mean, I feel like I need a very specific reason to be there.
I've been to Connecticut.
Oh, you have?
I don't remember it.
For what?
I couldn't
basketball
tell you.
Game or something?
I think, honestly, we were up in the Northeast on a family vacation. We said, you know what? Let's just say we've been to Connecticut before. Drive in there, and then we're going to turn around.
So anyway, Cromwell, Connecticut, state police. Said they were conducting speed enforcement on I-91 when they saw a Mercedes speed by just before 9 a.m. on Wednesday. The driver was spotted by a trooper. At the time, the trooper observed this Mercedes traveling at a high rate of speed, faster than the flow of traffic, according to state police. The trooper at the time estimated the Mercedes was going in excess of 100 miles an hour. The speed was later confirmed, Cody, to be 132 miles an hour. The traffic.
That's about the fastest I've ever been in a car, and I wasn't driving.
The trooper activated emergency lights, conducted a traffic stop. The driver failed to stop, accelerated away, made unsafe lane changes, and waved in and out of traffic. And weaved, I should say.
I think you kind of have to if you're going 130 miles an hour.
He also engaged the trooper in a pursuit. So it got serious. Sum everything up at the end of this. He was charged and arrested with reckless driving, disobeying the signal of an officer, failure to maintain lane, passing on the right, improper turn, passing at an unsafe distance, engaging in pursuit, interfering with an officer, and first-degree reckless endangerment.
Things.
That's a lot of charges. He was released on $2,500 bond. So that story is its own right. And then also, it turns out, why was he speeding? Late for a job interview, the 19-year-old was. 19.
Dude.
This 19-year-old.
19, it can't even be that good of a job. Nobody gets a good job at 19.
Now, I don't know the year of this, but he's 19 and he's driving a Mercedes E300. Now, I don't know what year it was. So
it was Cash Out, bro. No one.
Mercedes E300?
I don't know what year
it is.
Is
that a nice car?
I mean, it's a Mercedes.
Yeah, it's an E-Class Mercedes. I mean, any class Mercedes.
Depending
is
on
nice.
The year. You know, now it could have been a 1999 one. And it's a little bit cheaper, but I have no idea.
That would also be correct. I drove a
job interview.
I drove a Benz when I was in college.
Yeah, it's like a 2018. It looks like I could get one right now, used in town for $17,000. So I don't want to say for. Oh no, that's actually a B class.
How many? Okay. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm curious. This is a segue. How many miles on that car?
That one that I just saw. 47,000 miles on that car. Are you looking to change?
That much? No one's that much. I'm just. Man, that's...
That job interview, he clearly never made it to the job interview. I don't know what kind of job it was. He's 19 years
could
old.
Could you make it late and be like, oh, terribly sorry, I got pulled over.
He was arrested. He was behind bars. He had a big fan. He's not getting out till later, like hours later possibly, right?
Be a great story for the first day in the job. He's not getting the job.
He's not getting the job.
I didn't say what the job was for, huh?
No, but if you were interviewing, if you were interviewing him, and he's like, "Yeah, I was late. I didn't call you for hours to tell you I was late," you would already be out. You'd already say he's done.
This is just the difference of how people operate. I have been, you know, like obviously I've had to arrive to job interviews. Mm-hmm. I would be 40 minutes early and sit in my car for the first 40 minutes.
Agreed. Yes,
before that job interview starts. Before I'd risk being late to a job interview. A job interview? If I'm going for it, I clearly need it or want it or anything else in between. And so, like, the hell am I being late for that?
I think the fact
to the point that I'm trying to drive to 135 miles an hour, 132 miles an hour to get there.
Like what you guys said, the fact that he's 19, like, what job is this for? Like, how high level are we talking?
I mean, probably not very high.
I mean, if the guy's late to a job interview at Chick-fil-A and he's going 132, I mean, that's...
Who's taking a job at, I mean, even a used, he's driving an E-Class Mercedes, and he's like, kind of feel like, at 19,
I don't know if it was a 2025, I mean, that's different than if it's a 1999, it's a little bit different if you're driving a 99 Mercedes E300. At that point, that would make sense if he was 19 driving that.
Look, I don't speed that often. I'll drive the speed of traffic sometimes.
Yeah, on the drive we took to St. Louis to see CAG's debut, I would say you were consistently going right around the speed limit, a little bit above.
Yeah, a little safe, above. Five to... Uh-huh.
Cruise control.
To seven above, unless we were in a heavier traffic part, then I might be going 10 above if that's what everyone was going and we're in the middle of the speed of traffic. But, yeah, I mean, right in that range, probably. 132. That's the fastest crazy. I've ever been in a car is at 135, and it was buried. And again, I was a passenger.
Yeah.
And we were coming down I-29 from Berry Road to like 35 southbound. You know that stretch of road? Mm-hmm. That's where we were going 130. My buddy Joe.
How old were you guys at the time?
Oh, 18, 17. I don't know. Mm. Again, I was a passenger in the car. He had hit the brakes pretty hard coming off the off-ramp.
Jeez.
So it said maybe the job is for racing cars. Potentially, I mean, that would have made more sense.
He's going to be a race car driver.
Yeah, what job is racing cars?
Like Days of Thunder reboot.
Yeah,
they're in the rental cars driving.
One
through
of my
town.
Favorite movies. You and I talked about that movie on the drive back from St. Louis.
We did for whatever reason.
I don't know why it came up, but Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman. We were like, sure. Days of Thunder, classic.
Oh yeah,
classic movie.
That was one of the questions that Bink actually asked Kyle Larson when we had him on is, does he have trouble driving? Now, you know, that he's a race car driver, does he have issues driving a regular car?
Yeah.
What was the answer?
I'm fine.
I feel like I'd just be tempted to speed. That'd be the problem.
I'm guessing
you feel like you're going at a snail's pace for
sure. I'm guessing it's just a flow of traffic thing for them.
Yeah, that's
like
a good point.
You know, like if they're... even though you think when they look at their car, they're going 80, they're like, this is not fast. She's really going 160 or whatever. But... I'm guessing it's flow of traffic. If cars were zooming by him, I'm guessing we'd have the urge to go. But like, if everybody's going the speed, I bet you it's not not like a feeling that you're going slow, slow.
Someone said 130 is a flex. Was the $2,500 bail also a flex?
If you're driving so fast, they can arrest you on the spot versus just hand you a ticket.
Yeah, you're being stupid. That's what's going on there. All right, up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. A deeper look at some of the best weapons Mahomes has had. And Dave Tobe made a prediction. Let's see if it actually comes true. Do we think it will? Next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
We'll get back into the Royals in about 30 minutes or so. Cags is home debut at the K tonight. Cody's got a new song. We're going to all listen to that together around 12:10 or so.
So close.
I also still think we should not forget Jazz Chisholm is back in town for the Yankees. Just saying. Oh. I understand that.
Are we back to booing him?
I understand he won the series, so maybe it's over because it happened in the playoffs. But I don't know. I'm just saying. I will totally understand if some of you want to just boo Jazz Chisholm still this evening when he steps into the batter's box.
Still booing Astros. What would stop me from doing that?
I think
I booed Robinson Cano until he was out of the league. I might as well keep the energy up.
Booing Jazz tonight. I think we still boo Jazz.
Yeah, I think that's fair. He had a lot of disrespectful things to say.
Boo Jazz.
They didn't win the World Series either. I mean, they definitely got further than the finals, but they went to the World Series, didn't they?
Dodgers.
And they lost to the Dodgers.
Yankees, Dodgers. Freddie Freeman.
That grand slam. That was when we were in Vegas.
We were at Circa, yeah. Yeah. We were at Circa watching it right there.
Hoping to have more information for you guys on that soon. We're hoping to... Golden Knight hoping to be out back in Vegas again this year.
Always hoping. Always hoping to be in Vegas.
Don't know if we will be yet, but hoping.
Always.
Hoping that we will make a return.
That's right.
I saw a... I just mentioned Robinson Cano being out of the league.
Mm-hmm.
I saw yesterday that Chris Conley retired from the NFL, and he's going to work on some of his filmmaking stuff, which is always kind of important to him.
One of the most intelligent individuals we've ever had a chance to talk to. Like, truly, like... Unbelievable. Like, super smart guy.
Yeah, very smart, very thoughtful, had a passion for other things, which I always appreciate people, even in a hyper-focused thing like football or baseball or this other stuff. He had started talking about the filmmaking stuff. I remember talking about him when he was a rookie in Kansas City. He also is the recipient of a pass that most people attribute to. They knew when Mahomes was going to be that dude.
Yeah, true.
Was a Chris Conley reception. So, like, you know, he's got kind of a soft spot, I think, for some Chiefs fans. But it had me thinking more about what it realized is 95% of Patrick Mahomes' career is built, thrown to dudes like Chris Conley's level way more than the top end of the market wide receiver chain. Think about how few top end, like top 30, let's say, wide receivers in the NFL he's thrown to in his career. I think the answer might only be one. I think it might only be Tyreek Hill. Maybe Rashee Rice has a chance to do that. Maybe Worthy has a chance to do that. They're not top 30 wide receivers in the NFL right now. The only top 30 guy at the time in which they were playing, he has thrown to, not DeAndre Hopkins, he doesn't count. At the time they were on the team as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs, is Tyreek Hill. His entire career is littered with a lot of Chris Conley's, DeMarcus Robinson's, Sammy Watkins, old DeAndre Hopkins, whatever. That tends to be a huge chunk of his weapon base. And it just had me wanting more just thinking about Chris Conley, because that feels like every wide receiver he's had.
Yeah, he's had a lot of middle-of-the-road type of wide receiver talent. I think a lot of people would push back on, like, oh my gosh, he's never had weapons. They would say, well, he's had maybe the greatest tight end in NFL history as essentially his wide receiver one most of the years in his career. That's what people would say. We're trying to narrow it down. I get it, to wide receivers, not just passing options.
Because he's had
offense.
Tight end one, yeah. Because
he definitely has that. That's what probably has allowed them to have success too, and how they've pivoted. But Juju Smith-Schuster's, the Sammy Watkins, guys that have a nice careers, but nobody thinks they're the best of the best at their particular position. I would also say that Rashee Rice is the only guy on the roster currently that has a chance to elevate enough at some point in his career to be considered a top 30 wide receiver. Worthy's just young enough that I wouldn't rule it out.
But yeah.
I like Xavier Worthy quite a bit. I just think what Worthy and has been able to do to this point has been still a very, very small sample size. And it's not like Rice is a huge sample size, but at least it was a full season. Worthy was really a half a season, if we're being realistic. Yeah, and there was bright spots. And I know we all saw the Super Bowl, and that's what you're dreaming of, the production that he got in the fourth quarter, not what happened in the game, but his production in the fourth quarter. You know, you're like, okay, wow, okay, this is the connection. I totally get that. Rashee Rice, though, his ability in space to get open, find the spot in the zone, kind of like Travis Kelce has had success throughout his career. And it's why Rice was taking over that kind of role until he got hurt. That's what gives me the confidence that if anybody on the wide receiver room could end up being considered a top 25, top 30 receiver in the league in the next year or two, Rice to me is the answer for that.
So we know Travis Kelce's went out to look it up because him and Patrick Mahomes passed Gronk and Tom Brady or whatever at some point for like combo between tight end and wide receiver. Tyreek Hill. So Travis Kelce's number one tight end, but let's just say wide receivers. It's Tyreek Hill. It's not close, I don't think. Who's the second best wide receiver he's ever thrown to?
Sammy Watkins, probably.
Sammy Watkins? That's two?
Or Rice right now.
And Rice, that's just an incomplete grade in a lot of ways.
Doesn't it have to be Sammy Watkins then?
If we're going off stats alone, McCole Hardman is higher on the list than Sammy Watkins is.
For total receiving yards he's gotten from the guy?
For all-time receiving yards with the Chiefs, which is so Sammy Watkins played from 18 to 20.
Yeah, McCole's been playing for 5 years.
19 to 24, but... I mean, obviously, you know, some
I would say from
there.
A true, like, just
talent
knowing
standpoint,
that, I think Sammy would be number
Sammy
two.
Sammy was still in an effective, like, he was still an effective NFL wide receiver. But again, he wasn't one of the 30 best guys in the league. 30 best. I put a pretty low standard on that. That's what really stood out, again, about, like, doing that mental exercise is 30 best means you just have a true number one. And so, like, you're right. Yeah. Rasheed is probably.
And that's what's tough. It's tough to have this convo, though, because with we all know Travis Kelce essentially has been wide receiver one every year since Tyreek Hill left.
It does kind of give the organization a pass on. Otherwise, I do think we'd be more critical of Brett Veach and be like, hey, you even looking for a wide receiver for the guy? But because he's had Travis Kelce.
And they've spent draft capital over the last couple of years on wide receiver.
Sure. Probably because they know Travis Kelce's ending, you know, he's getting close to the end of his his NFL career. And so if he's starting to get close to that, you know, you start wondering whether or not, you start figuring out, I guess, which players are going to do that. You're looking in search for that. Rashee Rice has definitely got the best chance to do that. Top 30 is, again, a pretty low bar we're asking for. But yeah, it just made me realize that Chris Conley's, DeMarcus Robinson's, that has been a huge chunk of his career. And I don't even know what that would compare like to Tom Brady. He didn't have like, he had Randy Moss, but.
Yeah, that was only for what?
A lot of his were Wes Welker's two seasons.
Strongly disagree with the text line that one text says D-Hop is the second best receiver the Chiefs have had in there. I totally disagree. D-Hop 5 years ago would have been by far the answer. Not last year. Absolutely
He couldn't stay on the field.
Absolutely not. He barely was on the field. They barely used him. Clearly, he's not what he was 4 years ago, and it catches up to everybody. There's no way you can say D-Hop last season. Not we're not saying which wide receiver had the best career in their entire career that's been in the room.
Then it's DeAndre
Hopkins, clearly
number
two.
Maybe number one. Yeah, he'd be ahead of Tyreek Hill.
He would, just in terms of production. That's not the question, though. So when they were playing on the Chiefs, what did you consider them as? And D-Hop, you cannot say. By that standard, D-Hop's not even higher. If we're being honest, D-Hop, in the time that Mahomes had receivers, D-Hop's below Mecole Hardman, below Juju Smith-Schuster, just in terms
He's
of
below Justin
not,
Watson,
not
maybe.
Only production, but truly like what we saw. There was one great game from D-Hop. It got us all excited. I thought he was going to do more, and he didn't. But D-Hop is not the
If we're
answer.
Going off talent alone, I feel like it's without question Tyreek Hill, Rashee Rice, and Xavier Worthy. 1, 2, and 3. In terms of talent, honestly. And just what he's had.
Talent at the time they were on the roster. Sammy probably makes an argument to crack into that list. But he's the only other one that probably even makes the list.
Coming up in 8 minutes, we'll get to a very bad Chiefs take from a radio station up in Detroit. Yes, in the Detroit area. That's coming up in just a bit. But Dave Tobe was speaking to the media. Of course, Chiefs special teams coordinator, assistant coach.
Well-respected around the league.
Very well-respected. You guys know this time last year, it was a lot of talk about the landing zone, and the Chiefs had this plan and LRZ and all that. One of those good times. We were talking about LRZ and everything. Dave Tobe predicted the other day that 80 to 90% return rate on kickoffs this year. We know what they did to, in the league's mind, change this, and it's something that I think was very evident 3 weeks into the season, if not a week in the season. They needed to incentivize teams to not just kick touchbacks or penalize them, really, right?
Yeah.
Which is what they moved the touchback up a couple yards, and that potentially could prop more kickoff returns. I'm a little skeptical on like the percentage because last year, everybody thought that. But I do think now, instead of, if you think you're getting the ball at the 35 or the 40, it's 35, right? Then they bump it up to 35.
Mm-hmm. So five more yards.
Versus the 30 or the 25 way back in the day. Like that's a big difference in terms of the field that you're willing to give up if you're a team kicking off. So I do think there's a good chance you're going to have an opportunity to return kicks more than we did last year.
90% though.
Not 90.
90%.
I could see in the high 80s.
I will say, for the same stat I gave you last year, the difference between 25 and 30 yard line was an increase of likelihood of scoring by about 5%. It goes up another 10% from 30 to 35. So like, what you're talking about is a significantly higher increase of the likelihood of you are scoring by going to that yardage marker, which is why Tobe thinks people are going to kick the ball so that they have to be returned by these teams. That's why he's saying it. He just thinks that you'll be forced into it because you could give up the 5 yards. Everyone on defense gold was essentially willing to give up that yardage. They didn't think it was going to beat them up too much in the likelihood to score department, that it was actually worth the risk of allowing the player to return it and get a better return against you. And he's saying now there's enough juices worth the squeeze, which you and I talked about from the beginning. Now I would have gone almost further.
To the 40. Go to the 40. I'm with you.
I would have taken it so far where it's like, if you want returns, if you want an 80 to 90% return rate, I'd have taken it way out of the mix.
And if your response to it getting moved to 40 is, well, that's crazy. That's the point. that hopefully teams would think it's crazy. They don't want to give up the ball.
So they're going to kick the ball into play so it's returned.
That's the exact point of it. It's not the 40, by the way. It's the 35. But the 40 would have been, I'm with you. I would have been fine with that. The only part I'm skeptical about is...
We did do this last year.
We did a little bit last year, and... All the time, this wasn't just a Dave Tobe Kansas City thing, in fairness. This was other teams also. Oh, we got this like master plan, all these ideas for kickoffs, and oh my gosh, they're going to revolutionize it. And look, I was guilty of buying into the hype too, but like, you know, we got teams aren't going to know. They're keeping it close to the vest, and they think they found a secret weapon, and Justin Reed's going to kick off, and LRZ. Nothing freaking happened all year. Nothing.
No. No. No.
Nothing.
They had this whole like... Yeah, you're right. It was like deep dive, like, we've got the most creative, crazy, rugby style, watch us go. They had this whole thing about, like, kickoffs are never going to be the same
now,
again.
Now, look, he never even made the team, so maybe he was part of the plan, and he just turned out to not be as good as they thought he was. I don't know.
Or maybe, again, the 5 yards wasn't enough of encouragement for us to go wackadoo with our kick return coverage and actually make an attempt at making it look different with an actual effort to try to get the yardage we're doing. Look, I actually kind of hope he's right. I still like kick returns. I still like the idea that you can get six every once in a while by just being better on special teams. I do think it's a part of the game and always has been a part of the game and should factor into game planning and your ability to win. Sometimes you get to win a game you shouldn't by returning a punt late, by returning a kick late, by making a difference in the parts of the game that teams sometimes don't make the most of. But at the same time, it's like, it is a full, I'll believe it when I see it.
I think it even factored into the slight, very, very slightly how they drafted, because Brett Veach in his pre-draft presser, you know, was talking about, you know, we're looking for guys that have kickoff return experience, punt return experience. Jalen Royals has that. Rashard Smith has it. So I wonder, and that's where Nico Remigio comes into this as well, where it's a minor camp story. It's a very in the tiers of big stories. It's very low on the list, I would say, but it's there because. Who's going to be the kickoff returner? I think it'll be interesting where if Nico makes the roster, he's going to be the kickoff returner. But if he misses it, then you could see Jalen Royals. You could see Rashard Smith mixed in there. You could see maybe the one-off of other guys just thrown in to be returning those kicks.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see which way it goes. I guess part of it is like if they matter again, well, then you should have. I feel like teams have put lesser players in those roles because they're like, it doesn't really matter anyway. Right, I don't think you see as many guys like Tyreek Hill used to return kicks for this team, even when he was a good wide receiver. Gold used to see, you know, like I thought you used to see bigger name players doing the job.
So would you want Worthy doing it?
I mean, look, from the injury risk perspective,
not every time, but like kickoffs.
As the same thing goes in the punt, like as a one-off, and kickoffs are different than punt returns, but like as a one-off, because I want the fastest guy in the field with a chance to sprint 70 yards down the field. I mean, yeah, kind of. And I like the strategy part of it. Sports change and evolve, and I like to see how coaches change and evolve to handle the changing needs of the teams. It'll be, you know, like a lot different than that. You know, I don't know which way it'll go, but I don't think it's 90%. What do you think it is? 70? What was it last year? 50? So like I'm thinking like a 70% likelihood.
Yeah, I don't have the number in front of me. But yes, it wasn't what they thought it was. That's why they made the tweak. It wasn't as successful as they thought, as the league thought. I thought the kickoff rule change, we all would like to go back. They're never going back. It's either this works or there won't be kickoffs. And that's why we should all hope this creates more returns, because there is no other alternative other than keep tweaking this or get rid of it. They're not going back to what it was in 2010, or, you know, where we're like, oh, just go back to the whole reason they switched was in their mind because of safety reasons.
If it doesn't work this time, kill it. Kill it, put the ball on the 30-yard line, and let's just be done with it.
Real quick, someone said, hey, are we going to make fun of the Bengals today? I did not see the news. Drew, you didn't tell us. The Bengals just released their team captain from last year. That's awesome news. Good for them.
Yeah, Jermaine Pratt. We
joked about him yesterday for half a second.
He
was a team captain last year? Mm-hmm.
He needed to be.
He requested a trade in February. Somebody just texted us. So I looked it up real quick.
And, I saw Trey Hendrickson isn't there, and they have not worked out a deal with Shamar Stewart, who will not practice today.
Their first round.
Shamar Stewart thing is just crazy. It's still going on.
Anyway. I've never heard of 100.9 The Mitt. Have you? 100.9 The Mitt.
That sounds like a...
It's like Midland...
Is it a baseball
sounds like a mix,
radio station?
No,
it's
music.
Outside of Detroit. I think it's like Midland, Michigan or something.
Okay.
But like they cover the
Great
lines.
Lakes area?
Yeah, I think that's correct. The Mitt. All right. 100.9 The Mitt. They were talking about Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, most overrated quarterback in the league. I'm completely out on him. I'm completely out on the Chiefs. Once they made a Hallmark movie I was like, forget it. I don't like him. I think Josh Allen's a better quarterback. He's 6'5". He can play in cold weather. I'm just completely out on Patrick Mahomes. I think he's like... like, he's like the influencer of like NFL. Like, I feel like people just like overhype him up, and then that's why they win so many games.
The influencer of the NFL.
Hold on.
So they win more games because they overhype him?
I feel that's confusing. He's overhyped, and that's why they win games, was a real sentence that was just sad.
Also, she's into the
NFL's rigged.
She in one breath said, the second they made a Hallmark movie, I was out. Do I need to point out something we discussed in the show to her, which is the Buffalo Bills are actively making a Hallmark movie called Touchdown Buffalo.
They are.
She's now a Ravens fan.
A Bills love story.
Yeah, they're copying off the Chiefs. They're always a step behind.
Where did you say the station was again?
In Michigan.
He's also 6'5", so, you know, he's tall. She doesn't like short guys.
I mean,
he's not 6'5".
I'm serious, that is such, I mean, it's just, that's really embarrassing is what it is. There's a lot of really, very embarrassing. And
you think that's a pretty particularly bad take, not just like the bad take where you're like, I can stand behind it, isn't one you wish you
right. Like
said.
We disagree on a take or whatever, but the fact that you said out loud or she said out loud, he's overhyped, that's why he wins games, literally doesn't make sense. Like, it truly doesn't make sense. And then the fact that the movie has any role in what's happening is,
you gotta at least come with some sort of, in terms of Patrick Mahomes,
most overrated quarterback in the league. I'm completely out on him. I'm completely out on the Chiefs. Once they made a Hallmark movie.
That being your evidence for the reason why it's tough, you know?
What are we doing?
That being your evidence or your argument is tough.
Oh, man. Man, oh, man.
He's taller, and they haven't just released the Hallmark movie.
I mean,
yet.
She could have just rattled off the Pro Football Focus grades, and it's like, okay, all right.
We tried to look this up because that station only has one local show, and it's not the person that hosts it is not who you just heard. So I don't know if this was a guest
co-host, but her name's not on the show.
We looked up the host and producer, and it's not her. Of the show she was on. So
100.3 The Mid.
Listen, I think there's a lot of people who are in agreement with her, but I don't, you know, for the reasoning that I don't think she gave the best, she didn't give a good argument, I guess.
I'm not trying to be rude, but honest, one of the dumbest things I've heard somebody say in sports talk radio, and there's a lot of dumb, you know what, that gets said. Just one of the dumbest things, period.
He can play in cold weather, and I'm just completely out on Patrick Mahomes. I think he's like, he's like the influencer of like NFL. Like, I feel like people just like overhype him.
He's like that.
I think that's just. And then like that's why they win so many games.
I think it's tough. They win so many games because he's overhyped. That makes a whole lot of sense.
It's just a tough take. It's a tough reason. Like, again, her having that take, I think there's a lot of people who actually agree with the basis of the take. But
what?
There's not.
You agree? You agree? No. Hold on, please explain. You agree with the basis
Can't
of the take?
Nicole is
no,
also
no.
wild.
I know there are that might be the worst part of it. There are a lot of people who think that Mahomes is overrated. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of people, Pro Football Focus included, who ranked him what, 8th on the list. Cody, is that what it is? Pro Football Focus had him as the 8th best quarterback in the NFL.
They don't claim he's overrated. They're just metric system.
Listen, if he's ranked 8th, they claim he's overrated. Yeah. I'm sorry, that's just the way they're saying it without saying it. I don't think he's overrated. I'm just saying there are a lot of people who agree with what she says. But the argument
isn't. Don't try to justify what she's saying.
I'm not. I'm saying the argument doesn't make, the influencer part doesn't make any sense. The playing in cold weather part is not true. The 6'5 part is not true. Like, there was no basis that actually, you know, she didn't have anything to stand on.
This goes back to just like general society. Sometimes, not all the time, sometimes people deserve to be mocked. And they've opened themselves up for this. Not in my fault. It's not my fault she said those dumb things.
She does deserve to be dunked on.
Yeah.
Yes.
You say, like, when I did the suckiest, you can all make fun of me. It's fine. I deserved it.
When you have your new song that comes out in 25 minutes,
Everyone will love that.
We can dunk on that.
Yeah, people will love that song. There's no chance people won't love that. So, well, there is a chance.
What?
I was trying to exude confidence,
Like, people have bad takes. That one just doesn't make it. It's one of the dumbest things I've heard.
I don't even want to, like, really part is. Of me is like, it's such a bad take. I know that I could just like look up what his cold weather stats are, and I know that but they're very good. But
we just know. Good. We all saw but, the
like,
Miami Dolphins.
I don't even like entertain the idea that that could possibly be right by doing the research on it.
We saw the Dolphins Chiefs wild card game when people had their ears like frozen. They literally had, unfortunately, people lost part of their ear. I mean, you guys know the story. Frostbite.
There's a clip of him saying, I think thing. I'm a snow game guy now. I don't feel like the cold weather has been
found
a problem.
We found her name. I don't know if I want to.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you said on a radio show. I mean, you wanted attention.
I mean, you could figure it out yourself.
You wanted attention. I mean, here you go. Was it Success Suite with Sarah Blank?
Who would the influencer of the NFL even be, by the way?
I think it's a paid program.
Oh.
It says, join Sarah, I'll leave her last name out of it, 100.9 The Mitt's newest podcast, where she spotlights the most inspiring female leaders across the... Okay, that sounds like a great show. That's not what she was doing here, though.
Wait, is she just taking her female-driven show to dunk on Patrick Mahomes for no reason?
She was not on her normal show, I think is what happened. She was on a different show and out of the normal element of which her podcast was meant to be.
Well, I hope her podcast does fine and that she keeps out of the Mahomes... Yeah. She must have just been, you're right. She must have just been like on the
other. Someone says, guys, why is this shocking to you? People hate on the Chiefs.
Oh, people hate on the Chiefs all the time. That's exactly what I'm saying.
But this is one of the dumbest takes.
Correct.
Like, you can hate on the Chiefs. People do it all the time. It was one of the dumbest reasonings we have heard since we've done this show. That's all. All right. Up next, we will get to what's trending here on Cody and Gold, and we get right back into Caglione's debut at Kauffman Stadium. And yes, Cody has been working on a new song. I've done everything possible to try to stop it. There is no stopping. Cody Tapp's newest song next.